All right. It's good to be here tonight. Good to see everyone. Good to be back in town. Be back at the home church. I'm going to move this. I do not like that in my face there. I don't know if some of y'all are the same way, but I don't know if some of y'all don't like stuff sticking right there in your face. It just bothers me. But I may get used to it someday. But message may be short, but the Gonzo paid me a couple $100 to... If I don't live up my deal, I'm afraid he'll go get his Mexican brothers and he'll throw me in the river or something. No, I'm just joking. He didn't do that. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes is actually my favorite book of the Bible. I love Ecclesiastes. I read it. I was reading through it when I first read it as a young boy, and I've been studying it and going through it, and it's my favorite book. It's about a preacher or a teacher teaching us stuff and preaching to us, and it's about a man named Solomon. And Solomon in this book here, he's the wealthiest man on earth. He's probably one of the wealthiest men who has ever lived on earth. If you go back to Kings chapter 10, I believe it's 1 Kings chapter 10, it can tell you all of his wealth, and it goes through all of his stuff that he had. And just incredible, amazing how much he ruled and how much he had. But I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of being filled with nothing. Being filled with nothing. Before I begin, I'd just like to say thank you to this church. This church has been a huge part of my life. And, you know, it was right down here, right here actually, preaching missions conference. Dr. Bob Smith was preaching, and I was an 12-year-old boy, and sitting on the back pew back here, and he was preaching, and I came forward, and I was sweating, I was shaking, I was nervous as all get out, and I looked at my dad, and I said, "Dad, I think God's calling me to preach," and ever since then, I just gave it all to God, gave up all I had. I just wanted to give everything I wanted to God. I haven't been perfect. The road's been rough, okay? I've made mistakes along the way. And then the year before that also, I remember on Easter Sunday, my dad preached, and after the service Sunday afternoon, I walked up those steps, and I said, "Dad, I need to get saved." And up there in those steps, I'll never forget it. Right there, I knelt down, and my dad was able to lead me to the Lord. I'll never, ever forget this place. This place holds a dear place in my heart, and I'm thankful for a great wife also, who's been with me through it all, through college life, leaving the house at 7 in the morning and getting back at 11 at night. You know, it was not fun, and it's not not fun for her either, not seeing me all day long. But, you know, it's something, you know, that we believe that God has called us to do, and I believe I'm in God's will. I believe that that's where God wanted me to go. And, you know, there's been some times I walk into college and I'll just say, "I don't know, Lord. I don't know where I'm going to work. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And, you know, my last job won't hire me." And so I remember coming into my sophomore year, I said, "Well, I don't know. I'll just call around and see." And I was doing construction all my freshman year. And I came in the first day and my bus captain looked and he said, "Yeah, we're hiring some guys for construction." And he says, "Don't you work for that company?" I said, "No, not anymore." And he goes, "Well, hey, come join us." The first day of college, the first day I got there. And I worked for him all my sophomore year. And it's just been one thing after the other. God has just provided. You know, he's provided every month for our bills. I walked into the office one day to pay my bill. And the lady said, "Someone paid it for you." It was all paid for, about a $700 bill. And it's all gone. It's all paid for. And, you know, just the little things like that, that you know that you're in God's will, how God will just take care of you. Just you're in college and God takes care of you. And also one other thing is just the bus ministry at Hiles. And, you know, I joined the bus ministry there and I thought I would change the bus kids' lives, but they changed my life. And I just thank God that I get the opportunity to serve to those kids in Chicago and preach to them. And, amen. And I thought I would change theirs, but they changed mine. And just looking at them and being able to be a bus captain up there in Chicago, Cicero area, and bringing them to church and seeing kids grow in the Lord and seeing them ride the bus and want to serve God, it just encourages me so much that even a bus kid who, so many of them don't even have a mom. We have a bus kid on our route. He doesn't even know his mom. He doesn't even know his dad. His dad left him when he was a kid. He lives with his grandma. And he's going to City Baptist, and our bus route supports him going to City Baptist. And he chose to go to City Baptist. He didn't have to go there. He'd go to public school, but his grandma asked him. He said, "Do you want to go to City Baptist?" City Baptist is a school for all the bus kids there at Hammond. And so they said, "Do you want to go to City Baptist?" He said, "Yeah, I want to go. I want to do it." And we said, "Okay." So our route's been given every month, and it's just a blessing to see him grow, see him wanting to come to church, see people who have just been, their lives have been through the thrasher and just wrecked and ruined, and they still come to church and they still serve God. And the bus ministry is definitely something I encourage you guys to get into if you haven't been into it. And I know some of us are older in here, you know, we've been there and stuff, but the bus ministry is something that has changed my life. It'll change yours. Once you get into it and you see those kids come to church and they serve God and they do what's right and you see fruit and you see them, you see someone saved. And I saw one of my bus kids this past summer. He went to youth conference at Hammond, and a preacher was preaching, and he said, "You know, if you want to serve God, if you want to do what's right for life, why don't you come up here on the platform?" And I was looking around, you know, seeing, and I saw him walk up those steps, and man, the joy that just comes when you see someone else that wants to serve God, and you help them, and you help them come to church. And I don't usually cry a lot, but I think God's saving it for one day or something. I don't know when I'm going to cry a lot, but but anyways, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 here, we're going to get into it. Starting with verse 1, it said, "I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with thy mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life." And verse 4 there, it says, "I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me." It says, verse 8, "I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts." Verse 9, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." And look at verse 11 there. This is my text. It says at the end of verse 10, "This was all my labor." It says here, Solomon speaking here, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold," listen to this phrase, "all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Let's pray before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord God, for this church and being a blessing, and just seeing people here, the Watsons, and seeing Miss Stallman this morning, and people who have just been faithful, and the Winningtons, and many others, Lord God, who have just come every week. And Lord God, it's such an encouragement to me. It's such a blessing. And Lord God, thank you, Lord, for them. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help me, Lord, to just be a help and a blessing to these people tonight. And it's not about me, Lord God, but it's all about you. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help us tonight. Fill us with the Spirit and help your presence to be here. And just now I pray, amen. All right, well, I want to talk to you about being filled with nothing. I preached a sermon before. Hasn't been this long. My dad called me up and said, "How long are you going to preach for?" I said, "Oh, probably three or four minutes, you know, that'll be fine. I'll let everyone out." No, I didn't say that. But he asked me to preach, and I got something ready, and I preached this before, but it hasn't been for this long, so we're going to try to make it work. But I want to talk to you about being filled with nothing. Being filled with nothing being filled with nothing means being filled with something that's from the world or something that is a vain thing. And in this chapter here, it's Solomon talking, And Solomon has got it all. Solomon's the king. Solomon's the ruler. Solomon has got it all. He's got everything. He's got cattle. He's got wealth. He's got riches. He's got a palace. He's got it all. He's the wisest man in the world. He asked God for wisdom, and God blessed him more than that, and he gave him all this stuff. But at the end, when he looked back on all his labor and on everything that he did, in that verse 11 there, it says, "Behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit." Vanity is nothing. All was nothing. Anything that I build with my hands, it became nothing. Anything that I did with my, whatever I did, it was nothing at the end of my life. And I just have an illustration here. I got this glass here. And is this glass filled?
No.
But it is filled with nothing. There's nothing in this glass. And some of us here tonight may be filled with nothing. We may be filled with the things of this world. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a nice car, having a nice house, you know, having nice clothes. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing scriptural says that's wrong. But if you do not, if those things come between you and God and those things become your idols, then that's when it becomes wrong in your life. You're filling yourself like this cup and you're empty. You think of all the movie stars and all the rock stars and all the Hollywood actors and stuff. This is what they are tonight. They're filled with nothing because they don't have God. And only God can fill you. It's amazing how we always look to them and we say, "Oh, praise them, you know, for them acting in a movie or them going here." And we praise football players or basketball players, and we think they're so high and mighty. But this is their life, just like Solomon. They've got all the money. They've got all the wealth. They've got all the looks. They've got all the talent. They can dunk a basketball. They can throw a football 100 yards. But this is their life. It's filled with nothing, because anything that we can do in our life, it's all vanity. Anything that I can do, if I don't have God in it, it's all vanity. And it's like, what does it matter if I have a nice car? What if it matters if I have a nice house? What does it matter if I have a cattle on 1,000 hills? What does it matter if I have nice clothes, if I have nice things, if I have the biggest flat screen TV in my house? What does it matter if I'm a famous actor in Hollywood? What is it going to matter someday when I stand before God and he asks me, "What did you do for me?" And you say, "Oh, I forgot to do that." What is it going to matter someday when we get and we stand before God and we see him face to face? Quit filling ourselves with nothing. Quit filling ourselves, and we some of us run into issues, we run into problems, we run into trials and burns in our life, and we try to go to wine or liquor, or we try to go to alcohol to solve our problems, because it takes away all the problems for just a little bit, and then we got to face them again. In Proverbs 20, chapter 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Do not go to wine for your problems. Do not go to liquor for your problems. They will not solve your problems. I've never had one person come to me, and my dad can testify to this, and many of y'all can too, to say, "I'm so glad I took that drink of liquor. I'm so glad I took that wine. It made me feel so good, and I'm so glad I did it later on in life." I've never had one person ever come to me and tell me that. Fill yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill your cup with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can fill your soul. He's the only one who can fill you. Don't fill yourself with wine or liquor or alcohol. There are some people who try drugs and they shoot themselves up. And I've seen, I remember being out with my dad's soul winning one time, and I've seen a lady, she's all, you know, skinny, and she's got those needle marks all up her arms. You know, you can tell she shot herself up. But she is filling her soul with nothing. She's just like your cup. And that's why me and my dad were there to help her fill her soul with something. We're out soul winning. We're out giving out the gospel. We're out preaching the gospel. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, the beginning of that verse says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" Don't fill yourself with drugs. Don't fill that with emptiness. And some of us, we may fill our cups with something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And all it is you'll fill your soul with dirt. That's all it's doing, is pouring dirt into your cup. All you're doing is pouring filth into your soul. That's all you're doing when you take drugs, when you do this wine, this liquor, and this alcohol. That's all you're doing is you're filling yourself. And then when you can fill yourself, try and fill yourself with money. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In 1 Kings 10, it tells us how Solomon, how much wealth he had. And if you go back, he was probably one of the most richest men that's ever been alive. And when he writes this chapter, he's trying to get people to understand that wealth will not fill you. There's nothing about money that will fill you. We chase after the dollar. We chase after the buck, and we want to go after that. And there's nothing wrong with having money. But if that becomes between you and God, and that becomes your idol, and you're working for that, and you're always going after that and saying, I need money, and I need more and more and more and more, it will wreck your life. It will ruin your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 10, it says in there, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Don't put money first in your life, because this is what you'll be like at the end of your life. When Solomon comes here and he says, I looked on all the works, all the money that I have, all the wealth that I have, all the cattle that I have. I got me women singers. I got me men singers. I got all this stuff around me. But what is it? What does it matter if I don't go soul winning? What does it matter if I don't preach the gospel? What does it matter if I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it matter if I don't get in my Bible and read it and get something from God? What does life matter at the end when this whole earth is going to burn? Nothing's going to last except for this word and the people that are here on this earth. What does it matter if I don't have the nicest car? But as long as I'm in the Lord's will, as long as I'm in God's will, He'll take care of me. As long as I'm going strong, I don't care if I lose my job. I don't care if I lose my money. I don't care if I lose my health. I will still serve God. Some of us, we like to skip church for soul winning on Saturdays. And some of us, we have to work on Saturdays. I get that. You know, sometimes your job calls in for that. But sometimes on Saturday, if you have no other time to go during the week, you need to get back in soul winning. Get back into church. Get back winning souls for Jesus. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's a command to go into the world and preach the gospel. I've heard some preachers say that if you don't try, trying to get someone out of hell every week of your life, you're not right with God. And I try every single week of my life to at least give someone a track, at least plant the seed, at least give someone something. Because what is it going to matter if I have all the wealth in the world? What is it going to matter if I'm some great preacher? What is it going to matter if I'm some great person? And at the end of my life, all that matters is what we stand before God. And all that matters is what we did for the Lord. Is He going to ask you about your money? Is He going to ask you about your wealth? Is He going to ask you about what you did on how many footballs you threw, how many touchdowns you threw, or how many baskets you made? It's all going to be vanity when we stand before God one day. And Jesus is the only one who can satisfy you. Fill yourself with eternal things. Look on things above. Look on things like your bus kids or your kids or your people that are around you. Fill yourself with those things. Fill yourself with things that will last. Every single person is a soul in this building tonight. And every single person matters in this building tonight. But listen, these pews, they're not going to matter someday. But what will matter is the souls of men. What will matter is God's word. What will matter is if we did what's right each and every day of our lives. I want God to fill my cup. I want God to take this cup and to just fill it. And when God takes this cup, He'll let it overflow. He takes this cup, and I use this illustration. If I were to take this cup, and I were to put it on the ground, and I were to put a bucket around it, and I were to put a, let's say, one of those kiddie-sized pools, you could say, around that one, and then I'd put another pool around that one, and then I'd stick it in the sea, or I'd stick it in the ocean. God will fill this cup, and He'll fill the bucket, and then He'll fill that pool, and then He'll fill that pool, and then eventually He'll fill the whole entire sea. As long as you get in God's word and read God's word and do what's right, this is what God will do to you. Oh, the joy that has come to my soul. Even though I may not have a lot of money, even though I may not have the nicest things, I may not have the nicest car, but as long as I am in God's will, as long as I'm reading His word, as long as I'm doing what's right, and I'm letting my cup just overflow with joy. Fill up my cup and let it overflow. Let it overflow with joy, Lord. That's what I want. Don't fill your cup with nothing. Some of us are looking for hope. There are people in Oklahoma City. There are people in Chicago. There are people in the United States who want to have something filled, and they have a hole in their heart, and this is where they're at. They're filled with nothing. But we need to go out and reach them. We need to go out and tell them. Go into the highways and the hedges and wherever you can go and compel them to come in. Come into the house. Come in to see Jesus. Because I don't want their cup to be like this. Some of them have never heard the gospel. And I want their cup to be filled. I want their cup to be filled all the way to the brim. And I want them to have the blessings as if I had, as if my mom and dad had, as many of you have in here. And when you put your cup there, Jesus Christ will overfill it. And it will keep overfilling. And the joy that will come in your soul, because you're not filling your soul with vanity things, with things that are wrong, things that are not good in your life. And I remember between my sophomore year, I was working the summer right before I got married, and my boss, I was working construction, and I remember he'd ask me, he'd say, hey, can you work on Saturday? And up there at Hiles, you know, in the summertime, you get kind of lonely. There's no one's there. It's like a ghost town up there in the summertime. But I was up there. I was working construction. Excuse me. And he's asked me to work Saturdays. And I thought, well, I can make a couple hundred dollars, you know, working on Saturdays. I can work. I can help him out. And for a couple weekends, I worked on Saturdays. And as I look back now on it, I regret it, because I knew that Saturdays was my only time that I had, as I was working the rest of the week doing school and stuff, to go soul winning. Saturdays was the only time I had to tell someone about Jesus. Yes, you can give it out at the gas pump. Yeah, you can give it out at the Walmart, you know, the person there at the register. You can give it out. You know, we used to go out and put it on you can give it out on doors. You can do all that. But I encourage you to try and find a time. Set aside time. Set aside an hour of your week. Set aside 2 hours of your week to go and to tell someone about Jesus. I know we should pass out tracts here and there. Yes, that's good. But set aside time for your Bible reading. Set aside time for your prayer life. Get in the prayer closet and pray to Jesus. Fill yourself with eternal things. And as I look back on that time when I had worked on Saturdays, I worked for about 3 weeks, and I said, you know, this ain't right. You know, I was filling myself with vanity. I was chasing after money. And yeah, I made a couple hundred dollars, but didn't amount to much. But trust me, when you go out and you soul win and you see someone come to church and they grow in the Lord, they come to Christ and they grow up and maybe they become a pastor, they become a preacher, or they do something, your cup will be filled. Your joy will overfill your soul. There's no money, there's no car, there's no house, there's no nothing that you can put and give to me that will fill my cup as much as the Lord Jesus Christ will fill your cup. And I encourage you, if someone's not saved in here tonight, get saved. Let Jesus Christ work in your heart. Jesus Christ works in my heart. I said it before and I'll say it again. It's not, I've never had someone come to me and tell me, hey, I'm so glad I smoked that cigarette. I'm so glad I skipped out on Sunday night church and I watched the football game. I'm so glad I watched that television show that I wasn't supposed to watch. I'm so glad that I had my phone on me and I looked at something bad that I wasn't supposed to. I'm so glad that I took those drugs. I'm so glad I took that wine. I'm so glad I took that alcohol. There's no person in the world that would ever tell anyone that. And if you do, that's crazy, because I've never, ever, ever heard someone say that before. So fill your cup with God. Fill your cup. Don't leave it empty like this. Your cup is just empty. And I encourage you, go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the doors are open, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, every time the doors are open, get into church, help the pastor, help the preacher, help your youth pastor, help everyone in the church, fellowship, do what's right, because you're filling your cup with eternal things. You're filling your cup with things that will matter someday when you stand before God and He sees that in your life. And yes, we're all saved, and you may say, oh, it's, you know, I'm already saved, so I can go out and do whatever I want. Well, yeah, you can, but you're filling your soul with nothing. And God cannot bless your life. It's because you're putting idols, you're putting whatever you have in your life. I don't know the hearts of anyone tonight, but God does. But you're putting your idol, you're putting that car in front of God. You're putting that house in front of God. You're putting whatever you have in front of God. You're putting drugs, alcohol, beer, whatever it is in front of God. And it's taking the place of God. Put God back in your life, and this cup will be filled. And it will overflow into that bucket. It will overflow into that pool of water. And it will keep going and keep going and keep going. And God will fill it. God will fill your cup, and he will let it overflow. When we see Jesus, when we stand before him, I want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want him to say, "You didn't do much for me. I mean, here's your corner in heaven," or whatever. No, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you so." And in heaven are many mansions. And we will live in heaven forever and ever and ever. And the people that you save out of hell, well, God saves them, but you go out and reach them, and they get out of hell, they will live in heaven forever and ever and ever. You don't want someone to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Hell is a wicked, terrible, awful place. It's full of screaming, crying. I mean, I can't even imagine the utter darkness. And one of my teachers was teaching on hell and talking to us about it. And he said something. He said, hell is a place of forgetfulness, where no one remembers you. No one knows where you are. After you die and you go to the grave and you're not saved and you're in hell, no one can talk to you. No one can see you. It's forgetfulness. And you have to live that way for the rest of your life. So when you go out and you soul win and you help someone come to church and they get saved, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that they got saved, because they don't have to go to hell. The devil has got them in their hands, and he's let go, and God has them now in his hand. And they get to see their eternal rewards. They get to be in heaven. They get their cup overfilled with love and with joy and with peace and with long-suffering and with the preaching of the God's word. They get to do an eternal reward instead of the earthly reward. They get to do many things. They can grow up and be preachers, teachers, missionaries, and then they can win others to Christ. I know it's not about numbers here, but I'm just saying, whenever you fill your cup and you help others and you have that joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, your cup will be filled, not with vanity, not with vain things like Solomon's teaching us here. Because he says in verse 11, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I labored to do, and behold, all was vanity, all was nothing. There was nothing that my hands could do. And when I went back and I looked back, and yes, I built in me all this, and I did this and I paid for this, but what does it matter if I have all that things if I don't have Jesus? What does it matter if I have all these idols that I worship, but if I don't have Jesus, what does it matter? What does it matter if I do all these good works? What does it matter if I get baptized, but I don't have Jesus in my heart? What does it matter if I don't actually confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in him to save me from the grave? What does it matter someday? Because some of us look at the earthly reward and not the heavenly reward. We're on earth here just for a short period of time. We're only about 70, 80 years old, and then we die off. Well, in heaven, we're there for ages on end and ages, and keep going, and it will keep going. And it's forever. It's everlasting. And when you say, you know what, I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. No matter what comes, I think of Job, how everything was taken away from him. Everything was destroyed in his life. And he said, you know what, I'm still going to serve God. And we've got to have some people today. We've got to have some missionaries, some preachers, some teachers, some laymen in the church, or people in the church who will just love God, who will say, I will go on that bus route. I will win souls. I will pray. I will get in my Bible, because I want to fill my cup, not with vanity, not with what I can do, but what God can do. I want to see my bus kids in heaven someday. I want to see those kids in Chicago in heaven someday. I want to see my family in heaven someday. What does it matter if I drive a nice Rolls Royce? What is it going to do someday? It's all going to burn up and all be wasted. And I'm not saying this to you tonight. The richest man whoever lived is saying this to you tonight. And he's saying here, don't build your works. Yes, we can build. I've done many houses before and rehab them and stuff, doing construction. But what is that going to matter someday when I stand before God? What is it going to matter how many floors I laid or tile I put in or how much plumbing I did? What is it going to matter when I stand before God? It's all going to burn up. It's all going to go to waste. It's all going to, the souls that we haven't reached are going to go to hell. And who will tell them if I don't go? Who will tell them if I don't go into Oklahoma City? Who will tell them if I don't go into Moore? Who will do it? Who will do it if I don't go into Chicago and tell them? It just saddens me that some of us are just, even including me, sometimes I'm selfish, you know. We don't go out and we don't tell someone about the Lord. And I'm preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to y'all tonight. There's been many times where God will say, hey, hand that person a track. Give that person something. Give that person an invite to church. Help them. Give them an invite. Just tell them. And I'll say, well, don't have a track. And that's on me. I don't have something to invite them with. And I get convicted about that things. But when God speaks to you, when God tells you something, listen to his voice. I plead with you and I beg you. If he tells you to go to Africa, if he tells you to go to Canada, if he tells you wherever he wants you to go, that's the only place I want to be. If I'm in the middle of Timbuktu, I want to be in God's will. Wherever God wants me, if I don't like being there, I still want to be there because God wants me there. Because I don't want my cup to be filled with nothing. I want to fill my life with joy. I want to fill my life with things not of this earth, not of earthly treasure, not of earthly gain, of what I can gain or what I can do. I want to fill my life with something of God. Amen. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a missionary. I want to be a layman in the church. I want to be faithful. And you're filling your cup with eternal reward. And you can't see it now. You look around and you can't see it. But I'm telling you, your cup, at the end of your life, when you look back, when you become 70, 80, 90, you'll say, I'm so thankful I went to church. You'll say, I'm so thankful I read my Bible. I'm so thankful that I prayed. I'm so thankful that I got in this word and I dug through it and I got these passages and I memorized these verses. I'm so thankful. You won't look on the end of your life and say, oh, well, I did this and I did this and I did this. But what is it going to matter if it's all going to burn away someday? If it's all just going to melt someday and be in a flaming ball of fire? What is it going to matter if I gain all the money in the whole wide world and I'm the richest man in the whole wide world and I own everything? Look at me, you know, but it doesn't matter because it's all just going to be dust someday. It's all just going to go away and melt. And I would encourage you tonight to fill your cup with something. Don't be like this cup where it's empty and filled with nothing. Fill this cup. God will let it overflow. You may not see the end progress. Like my dad said this morning, the Bible is a lamp and it shows us where we walk by faith each and every day. But it doesn't show us the end. And so when I get to the end of my journey, I want this book to be the light of my path and the lamp unto my feet. And so when I see Jesus someday, my cup will be filled. And he can say, and he can look on you and say, what'd you do for me? Well, I didn't do anything for you. I didn't do anything for you, Jesus, but it was God who did it all. The Bible says, I must decrease, but he must increase. Paul says that in the New Testament here. But we should live our days, and every day you should die daily. Give it to God, because you're filling your cup with things that will matter, with things that will last. I guarantee it. I guarantee you someday you will have a day that you will say, I'm so thankful I read my Bible. And in college time, been there, and it can be challenging trying to find a time to read your Bible. And you guys who've been busy, I know many of y'all have been busy before too. It's not just me. But it can be challenging to just simply read your Bible. And it's challenging for me even all the time to just get out of my flesh and read my Bible and to get something out of it, or even to pray and see the importance of prayer. Brother Benny Beckham came to our prayer revival they had at First Baptist, and he preached, and he preached to, we have a class there called Church Ed, where the different preachers and missionaries and men who get to come in, and they preach to all the men in the college. And He was telling us about prayer and how important prayer is and how it's been lost in our country today and how America is just dying. It's going to hell in a handbasket because we don't get on our knees and pray, me included. And it's just very, very hopeful to know that there is Jesus who is the only one who can satisfy you. And if I had anything to say tonight, if I had anything to help you tonight, it would just be fill your cup with the things of God. You can build all you want. You can do all you want. You can try and work your way to heaven like they did in the Tower of Babel. You can try to get baptized to get to heaven, but it's not going to fill it. It's not going to get you there to heaven. And I encourage you tonight to fill your cup with the things of heaven. Don't fill your cup with earthly things. I don't know what it is tonight. Maybe your phone. Maybe your TV at home. It may be family members or something. It may be anything. But I'm telling you, please fill your cup with the things that are in heaven. And I'm not saying it to you tonight like I just said Solomon's saying it to you. Because he says, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. I'm just here to warn you tonight that when you get to the end of your life, fill your cup with the Lord's things. Fill your cup with this book. Fill your cup with prayer. Fill your cup with helping others, going to the extra mile to help someone else. And I hope that's an encouragement to you tonight. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.